I do this for my culture.
Welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we're going to talk about how Texans Republicans have passed a Chick-fil-A bill and how the LGBTQ community is up in arms about it. But the conversation is much bigger. Where are the boundaries and what do we expect from our government when it comes to when companies have taken very hard political stances? Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture.
I do this for my culture. I do this for my culture.
And welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks, this evening for another exciting edition. Happy Tuesday, and I'm so happy that you're able to join us. Yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. Tuesday is a beautiful day of the week. Yes, it is. Tonight, we got some great conversations for you. We want to first kick off this discussion talking about Texas Republicans, how they're working to pass a Save Chick-fil-A bill about the ban that people are having about the franchise for its stance on LGBTQ community issues. And so the Republicans have a Republican-controlled House in Texas passed a measure to try to prevent certain actions. And then in this ban, in this bill, they're looking to try to reconcile this issue because folks feel like, you know, there's been talk that that the Chick-fil-A brand, the restaurants, they don't believe in the union of same-sex marriages and their stance on LGBTQ issues. And so some people are talking about boycotting it. This has always been the talk, but it now has gotten to the forefront because in San Antonio, the city council voted to ban the fast food chain from the city's airport because of its history of anti-LGBTQ statements and actions. And many prominent Texan Republicans were upset, saying it violated the First Amendment. So we're going to talk about this because I got a big couple of big questions. Will you speak with your dollars and stop eating at Chick-fil-A in support of the LGBTQ community? But the bigger question that I have is, should we ban Chick-fil-A? We have a Chick-fil-A here on campus due to the beliefs of the owner. Now, this is the owner of Chick-fil-A. It's not like they card you when you go into Chick-fil-A. Excuse me, are you a part of the LGBTQ community? We need to see your card. Otherwise, if you are, please turn around and get your favorite chicken sandwich someplace else. I don't think they do that at Chick-fil-A. But have the conversation about banning and boycotting, you know, has it been a conversation that kind of lost its flavor? because there's always talk of some ban. There's always talk of some boycott because of a political stance. But I want us to have a real conversation about this because, you know, I'm going to tell you about what's been happening in Texas. But there is a bigger piece in this moment that we're in, where there are a lot of people wondering, you know, talking about, you know, not supporting some major businesses, not supporting folks because of their political stance. And the other question is, do you think it is fair to allow religion to dictate whether a person is served at a business establishment? Is that something that we need to do? I'm interested to have this conversation. So, you know, I'm certainly going to open it up to you in a few moments so you can be a part of it at 410-319-8888. We also, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming out. There was a recent survey that was done that said that Generation Z and millennials are increasingly pessimistic about their lives. Yeah. According to the report, and that Deloitte has released its global millennial survey, and it shows that uneasiness and pessimism abound among the majority of the world's population. However, they're seeing that among young people, there is a real pessimism about the future, especially the financial future of this country. So we'll have a little conversation. And if we can get to it, I want to talk about how New York is now considering, New York City is actually considering, folks, putting a law together where it might make it illegal to text while walking. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yes, you know, we want to possibly look into, if we have time. But can you imagine to text while walking, you might get a ticket or a fine, some sort of citation from $25 to $250. My goodness, we will all be fine. I've seen some people texting while walking, and I don't even know how they get to their place, their destination, for real. Like, they never lift up their heads. It must be on a peripheral or something, because it's just absolutely mind-blowing. Just mind-blowing. I get it, though. I get it. You got to check your Facebook, man. I mean, it's just so important to see who likes your picture. So you got to. No, it doesn't make sense. All right. So we're going to get into some good stuff tonight. We want you to join us on the on both online and on air. We are certainly broadcasting on WEAA on our Facebook page. You can hit me up on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. I want you to post your thoughts and your comments as we have these very, very cultural topics today. I feel like this is a cultural topic day. So we want to get into it. And certainly we want to hear from all of our first time callers, 410-319-8888. All right, let's jump into it. Let me kind of use a little bit more detail about the situation that's happening down in Texas. As I mentioned, San Antonio City Council voted to ban the fast food chain Chick-fil-A from the city's airport because of its history of anti-LGBTQ statements and actions, where now a lot of major Texas Republicans are saying that it violates the First Amendment. Well, this week, about 3 months after the effort, the state-controlled, Republican-controlled House there in Texas passed a measure to try to prevent further action. So they have created what they call the Save Chick-fil-A Bill, which explicitly forbids the government from taking, quote, any adverse action against any person, contractor, or business for its membership in or affiliation with a religious organization. A lot of folks are saying that because of where they stand in terms of their religion, that Chick-fil-A should not be supported. Now, according to the reports, the bill that the Texas Republicans have put out has been met with major opposition, mostly from Democrats, including the legislators' LGBTQ members, who made several attempts to block it, calling it a bill of hatred that was being disguised by a stated purpose of religious liberty. Some have expressed concern that it is written so broadly that it could effectively require certain governmental entities to work with anti-gay but ostensibly religious groups such as the Westboro Baptist Church. But the bill passed the House by a near party line vote of 79-62 after about 2 hours of debate on Monday. And if the Senate agrees to some changes it made, it will head to Republican Governor Greg Abbott. Now, according to State Representative Matt Krause, the Republican who sponsored the measure, he pointed to the changes he made to the bill, and he said, look at the language in this bill. There's nothing discriminatory in the language. There's nothing discriminatory in the intent. Now, members of the newly formed LGBT caucus spoke out about this bill. State Representative Jessica Gonzalez, who is a Democrat from Dallas, she tried but failed to add language to the bill that would have protected LGBTQ people from discrimination. And other members warned their Republican colleagues about the political consequences of supporting a bill, pointing to signs that younger voters are more tolerant about sexual orientation. Now, the whole situation with Chick-fil-A is that Chick-fil-A, the owner of Chick-fil-A, has a deeply religious view and has long been one of the most prominent companies to draw the criticism of LGBTQ community groups across the country. And they really came onto the forefront of being, quote unquote, hated for their stance after its then president and current chief executive, Dan Cathy, spoke out about against same-sex marriage in an interview with a radio station back in 2012, saying, quote, we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. And I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude that thinks we have the audacity to refine what marriage is all about. Now, on the other side of things, the Chick-fil-A Foundation has also donated to organizations that are seen by some as anti-LGBTQ or oppose rights such as same-sex marriage. So we want to have this conversation because I think that is important. But again, we could start with LGBTQ, but I think it should be a conversation really about this whole idea of banning and boycotting and then bringing government into it. And I think that's the other part of this that I want us to kind of key in on, folks, is that we ask the government to do something to stop companies from being supported because of their political stance. Does this make a difference for you? Does this make a difference for you? As I've gone to Chick-fil-A, I noticed that they have a diverse workforce. I know they're young folks and they're older folks. I know they're black people and white people. I know they're Asians and Latinos. I don't know if they really have gotten so hard on the LGBTQ community where they have really outright stopped hiring members of the community to be a part of their workforce. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard about it. But it would be hard-pressed for me to believe that that is happening and they're still in business. The other part about it I think we need to consider is the fact that, yes, the owner of Chick-fil-A can certainly have those views, but Chick-fil-A is a franchise-based company. So the franchise, so if you own a restaurant, a Chick-fil-A restaurant, first and foremost, you're very rich. Because people go to come to Chick-fil-A. But the second thing is, you may not have to subscribe to those same views. So it does not determine the business. I want to get your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888. Is the Texan Republicans, are they on the right side of history? Or is this a situation that we really should be looking into? And should we get into a space, folks, of banning certain companies due to the beliefs of the owners or the creators of those companies? Should we get into that space? Because I feel like that might be a slippery slope for us to go down. Let me know your thoughts. Hit me up, 410-319-8888. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad as well as WEAA. And let's have a conversation. Stay riding with me. It's a whole lot coming up in this first hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. We'll be right back. All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. All right, let's talk about this Chick-fil-A situation. Now it looks like, you know, you probably heard that Chick-fil-A has had this history of being anti-gay or anti-LGBTQ. Now in San Antonio, they're looking to ban the fast food chain from their city's airport. And in Texas, Republicans are saying that's a violation of the First Amendment. Who's right? Who do you see as being right? And the bigger conversation, should we start banning companies based on the beliefs of the owner? Excuse me. Especially if the company is showing may have had a history of still being inclusive. Give me your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Let's kick it off with Angela tonight. Angela, what's your take on this?
Hey, so, okay. First and foremost, I want to make a statement just from my own personal experience. When it comes to actually becoming an owner of a franchise involving Chick-fil-A, when it comes to actually applying to own a franchise that's a part of Chick-fil-A, there's a very extensive process with that. They do not accept everyone, and I've experienced it on my own, that they will not accept a gay couple.
So they won't accept a gay couple as a franchise owner?
They will not. They do a full background check, and if they find that you are either married or have been dating and living with a gay person, or, you know, your spouse is gay, they will not accept your application.
Really?
Absolutely.
So how do they know that?
Through a background check. The background check in itself, especially when they do your credit, they can find out that either you are married, have been married, or you've lived with someone that has openly expressed their homosexuality.
Wow. So they really go that, I mean, so I'm my mind is sort of like blown by that because I'm wondering, like, how do you, I mean, that's a high level of discrimination.
Absolutely.
So, but you say you experienced this yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, I have.
Wow.
Me and my wife attempted to purchase it. Actually, this is maybe about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And we were told that we were declined. And they wouldn't tell you exactly why they declined us.
Uh-huh.
But we both have very good credit, A1 credit.
Gotcha.
We've never, you know, had any type of criminal history or anything like that. So when it came down to it, when I looked at my background check, because I work for a background company, I realized that the only red flag was the fact that I've been living with my now wife for 10 years.
Okay. So.
Post, they check your Facebook post, they check your Instagram post, all of that.
Damn, I thought it was Chick-fil-A, not the government. Damn. Damn. I'm like, I'm just trying to sell a chicken sandwich. I mean, what are you looking for? So, but they never gave you an explicit reason why they wouldn't accept your application.
Never.
So and did you file a lawsuit? I mean, once you found out, did you kind of take it to a legal state?
You cannot. Because it's an at will.
Really? Now, is this in the state of Maryland or?
No, this is period. This is Chick-fil-A's franchise.
Wow.
Any franchise, though, they can discriminate amongst themselves when it comes to opening, you know, a franchise. Even with McDonald's, if you apply for a McDonald's franchise and they go through your background and there's something, they don't have to tell you what the something is.
Right. So if McDonald's see that you just think that Ronald McDonald is an absolute annoying character, and you express that on your Facebook page, your application is going to be denied.
Absolutely.
So what recourse does members of the LGBTQ community have? Like, for example, I mean, you've had that experience, Angela. So would you advise people not to go to Chick-fil-A? Do you still go to Chick-fil-A? What's the action here?
Well, you know, in my honest opinion, I personally think that it's to each its own. You know, I don't think that it's that serious.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I personally feel like the exact same way that the LGBTQ community wants for everyone to accept them and, you know, rally behind them and everything. We have to understand and accept that other people have opinions and other people have their rights as well.
Yeah.
So if they do not want to accept and they don't want to, you know, applaud and be on the same bandwagon or what have you, then that's their opinion. The same exact way we have our right to be ourselves, they do as well. And I think that's the problem. I'm not going to say problem, but I think that's one of the major issues when it comes to the LGBTQ community, that we're so sensitive and we are so entitled that we feel as though our rights are the only rights that matter. And I've experienced this within my own community on so many different occasions where I'll see discrimination amongst the LGBTQ community, yet you're still, you know, fighting for people to accept you within yourself. Like, I don't like that. Like, for instance, transsexuals are not accepted, in my opinion, as fully as they should be within the community.
Right. So there's still some discrimination within the community that's fighting against discrimination.
Exactly. And that's the main problem. It's like, fix what's going on at home first,
yeah,
so we can actually look like, a united front when it comes time for it. Because I think it looks really fickle when you hear people talk about banning a company like Chick-fil-A, yet they still go to the restaurant. You know, like, you're not going to give up the waffle fries that you eat.
That chicken biscuit is just so damn tempting.
Come on. Give it up. Chick-fil-A sauce, everything. Like, come on now.
So here, you know, but real talk, hearing from you, I'm going to be honest with you. Hearing from you is making me think twice about supporting. It's just in the sense of, just because you are a black woman that's trying to open up a business. And I think that, I feel like there's so many different elements to this conversation, because, you know, you have, of course, the element of the LGBTQ, but then you also have this element of discrimination. And so, really quickly, where does government fit in this? Should folks go to the government, to expecting the government to force Chick-fil-A to be less? I mean, how does that work?
I think that's pushing the bar a little bit too far. In my opinion, I personally think the government has far too much on their plate to have to worry about something that minute. And furthermore, I believe that when you try to involve the government in something that is practically just a boycott, it kind of,
But it's not just a boycott. I mean,
if they rejected
your application to be a franchise owner because of your sexual preference and your lifestyle, that sounds like a government issue. And I might be, is that not a justifiable reason to ask your government to intervene?
If in fact I'm asking my government to intervene with something that to that degree, then that means that the government also has to intervene when it comes to something as simple as a child that wasn't accepted into a particular school.
Mm-hmm. And like, we have asked the government to do that.
Exactly. And it's like, are you taking away from the rights of the company by trying to support the rights of the individual?
That's a big one.
To be honest, when it came to us being, you know, denied the opportunity of opening Chick-fil-A, which was, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise, because it allowed us to, you know, branch off and do our own thing. And I think that if we were confined into the box of Chick-fil-A,
yeah,
it may not have been as wonderful as what we're doing right now. So
that is,
you know, everything comes with itself. I just take it as a blessing, you know, in itself.
Angela, I know you kicked it off tonight. You kicked it off with that testimony tonight. Look, I first and foremost want to thank you for sharing that, and I really appreciate
you. Thank you for having me.
No, seriously, I really appreciate you, because I did not know that side of the story. So to hear
a lot
somebody,
of people don't.
Yeah, to hear that firsthand is certainly eye-opening. But I appreciate you. Angela, I hope to keep hearing from you more and more as we have these very important, very sensitive conversations.
Absolutely. I love your space.
Thank you
so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Angela checking in. Man, she put in an application to be a franchise owner for Chick-fil-A and was denied. Wow. I don't know. That's interesting right there. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Folks, I got to take a quick pause when we come back. Real Thomas Christian Segary and John are checking in. Man, oh man, we're talking about Chick-fil-A, folks. San Antonio City Council voted to ban the fast food chain from the city's airport, but the Republicans in Texas are saying that it is a violation of their First Amendment. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Make sure you post your comments at on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad and give us a call at 410-319-8888. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in. Great first call kicking off the conversation tonight about what's been happening with Chick-fil-A in Texas, how some folks are calling for Chick-fil-A to be banned, the San Antonio City Council. We just heard from Angela, who shared her personal story of how her and her wife applied for to be franchise owners of Chick-fil-A and were denied. She was saying, I don't know any other reason other than my sexual preference, my lifestyle being the main factor that Chick-fil-A denied us. Now, certainly want to believe, of course, hey, I don't know the full story, but it's absolutely mind-blowing to hear it firsthand that, you know, that level of discrimination is happening. But we would need to certainly have some deeper conversations about it. You know what I mean? We definitely need to have some deeper conversations about it, especially since they, according to Angela, her story is that they didn't explicitly explain why their application was denied. I'm always leery about that, though, when you apply for something and then they just tell you can't, you don't get accepted or for whatever reason, but they can't explain it. I think that's the part of the story that I'm having a real issue wrapping my mind around. If they can't explain it, then does that mean that it's a justifiable denial? All right, let's go back to the phone line. Let's hear from Theodore in Parkville. Theodore, what's your take, sir?
First of all, Mr. Faraji, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
You always. And I'm an oldster. You're a very wise youngin.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you a story.
Yes, sir.
Probably before you, not got here, but before your time.
Go ahead.
Do you remember what happened with Denny's?
Oh, yes. That really
and
wasn't before my time. But
think about it, Mr. Faraji.
Yeah, go ahead.
It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was what we would call, quote unquote, the best of us. FBI agents, black FBI agents couldn't get fed.
Couldn't get fed.
Once it hit the news and blew up, then you start seeing more black franchise owners of Denny's, and you start seeing more blacks in the commercials. My sister, in fact, to this day, even though this was several years ago, she will not go to a Denny's with all the deals that they have. But I used to take the kids to the Denny's years ago, but that's what happened. With private business, many times they don't have to.
Yeah.
Give you an explanation. And the thing about it is that.
But should that change? I guess that's the big question, right, Theodore? Like,
yes,
it should change. I mean, if you're gonna deny person of the person should at least know why.
Look, let me tell you something.
Yes,
let me tell you how hypocritical people are, which is one of the human characteristics. I like to remind you and your audience. You don't need reminded. That's in every group and race of human beings on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. People years ago, also, they didn't like a black going to certain restaurants. And when I think about it, you know, that I think the dumbest thing. If white people say, wait a minute, I ain't got to like those Negroes, but their money will help me build my business up. To show you how stupid that was. And in reference to another question sometimes you get on your show about giveaways and welfare. Let me explain. Hit your history books. Look what happened in the 1860s. Millions of people, you'll see it in a picture called Cimarron, lined up, and the government gave away millions and millions of acres. So when you talk about giveaway, do not talk about that with me, because basically that was to help people. It was welfare. And you got to remember, they're taking $15 billion of your money and my money this year, again, to give to the farmers. If that ain't welfare, what is it? So hypocrisy runs through all of us. And let me give you an example that happened here. Years ago, the first woman that hit the Maryland lottery, before the big game, was Megan Mills, called the Maryland lottery, she hit it for $5 million, Miss Singletary. She took a tithe to her church. The pastor, having found out that she got it through buying a ticket, refused to take that $400,000+.
Really?
To the church. Yes, look that up. First Maryland hit was Miss Singletary. She took it to a Baptist church.
The pastor
was Johnson. It was down on Gay Street or someplace. They moved out now. He said, I can't accept this. And the thing about it, the hypocrisy within us, like everybody else, you don't know who you sit next to. I could be an axe murderer you talking to. You could be one. I don't know you. Only God knows. You don't know who you sit next to at a wedding, at a church.
Yeah.
So guess what? It's hypocrisy. And the best thing we can do is to call it out. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stand before me and answer when your time comes. I'm not going to stand before you. Those ladies are going to have to answer to God for themselves. So the guess what? It's not our business. If a person is qualified, let them do the job. And to you and anybody else who graduated from the colleges, young people, I'm proud of you. We're all proud of you. Do well and keep uplifting us as you're doing. Same for you, sir.
Hey, thank you so much, Theodore. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you for checking in from Parkville. Let's go to Real Thomas. Thomas, what's your take on it, sir?
You sure you want to know, Haji?
Hey, Thomas, that's why you call. I always want to hear from you.
I agree with the Chick-fil-A Corporation.
Okay.
I do. Here's the problem with that.
All right.
Chick-fil-A didn't ask you to be LGBTQ, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't meet their standards, okay, then you should not get their franchise. You're going into a situation saying that you agree with their standards, okay?
Right.
If their standards is that they don't agree with that, then why would you want to associate yourself with that, Faraji? To make the government choose sides, it's a very dangerous, slippery slope.
Mm.
Someone can go to the government and says, I don't like Faraji Muhammad's last name.
Yeah.
I want to ban him off the radio.
Right. No, you're right.
How much more are we going to open this crazy stuff up to, man?
Well, and you know what, Thomas? That's what one of my big questions is. Is there a boundary? Because let's take it out of the setting of LGBTQ, because that's still a very sensitive topic for a lot of our people. But let's look at it from, you know, if we look at race issues or, you know, when we get into the space of wanting to boycott and ban, and I'm just asking a question, have we gotten to the space that's gone so far that, you know, as if we have leverage? It just seems like we don't have leverage in these big conversations. I mean,
we don't have leverage. Faraji, it's a dangerous, slippery slope. Pastors are now having to meet with their congregation and their leadership to prepare them for this law that's coming that says that you can't say nothing to these people. You have to treat them as equal, which is nothing wrong with treating somebody as an equal. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean,
you have to accept their lifestyle. So, Faraji, if you're forced to accept a person's lifestyle, how come you gonna have the right to disagree with it?
Well, no, you do have a right to disagree. And Thomas always
no,
a break. No, you do. No, you actually do. Now, if it is it popular? No, it's not. In some people's minds, it's not popular. But just like you heard from Angela, a black woman who is a part of the LGBTQ community, she herself said that she believes there's a high sensitivity to that issue, that the LGBTQ community is also discriminating against other people within the same group. We all have a right, and that's fine. We don't have to think the same way, folks. We don't have to think the same way. But I think that we should respect one another as human beings because we do have different thoughts. Let's go back to the phone line. Let's go to Segary. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. Segary, thank you so much for checking in. I appreciate you. What's your take on this?
Very interesting. I also agree with the last caller because I checked in with Chick-fil-A myself, and one of the criteria they want is that you belong to a church and you live a quote-unquote
wholesome, righteous life.
Yeah, you know, see, check this out now. I also appreciate the first call you had because she talked about even though she lived in that lifestyle that she did not agree with the LGB boycotting their business and trying to put them out of business. Okay, because I also believe, you know, I have children, I have grandchildren and everything. And one of the things that when I was raised as a young child is they wanted me to live a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they knew that it would be productive for me in God's eyes. So even in business, we have to respect even God in business. So I believe these owners of the business are not just letting money guide them, but also the principle where God asks us to do and, you know, conduct our lives so that the younger and other generations can see, you know, how to live your life.
That's fine. That's fine. And let me ask you this, though, Segary. I want us to consider this. A business interpretation of God's tenets and word, right?
Okay.
Is that what people go to Chick-fil-A for?
No, but, sir, what I'm trying to say is they don't go to Chick-fil-A for God's word. But see, you can be productive even obeying God's word too. Like, you know, when it comes to that, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
I get it. But I'm just saying in this context, now, I mean, I understand what you're saying to me because I agree you got to stand for something. But we got to look at the institution. The institution is just a fast food chain. The institution is food service.
That's correct.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I just want you to feed me. Now, if you don't accept my money or discriminate because of the color of my skin or my sexual preference,
well,
that's
another thing.
Right, exactly. That's a whole nother conversation. But at the end of the day, I just want a chicken biscuit from you. You know what I mean? I'm not asking to pledge allegiance to you. I'm not, you know, that's fine. You may want to know if I'm have a home church, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a Muslim, for example.
Right.
So what's their view? If we start looking at it, are you saying that those who go to a mosque can't eat?
Well, I don't know if that business has anything against being a
right
Muslim. Now,
right.
If that was so, then I would be, I would not even want to, support the business because the Muslim faith, to me, is a great faith.
Right. So that's, but that's in your eyes. Right. And I would agree.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, somebody else may say, well, that's a quote unquote terrorist faith. And so therefore, if you know what I'm saying? So you start like Thomas said, it starts to open up this door for interpretation instead of actual fact. And at the end of the day, people just want to be fed. They just like the food.
Right. I believe there should be a line with that. Now, it's a tough subject, sir.
It is a tough subject, brother.
It's very tough, but I also appreciated that woman standing up and saying
absolutely
that she is not in favor of the LGB just shutting down businesses because they don't accept, you know, because, you know, God made, to me, he made man and woman, and two women are not wives. I mean, you know,
That's a whole nother show. Hey, Segary, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's go back to the phone line. We're talking about Chick-fil-A. Let's hear from John out of Ellicott City. John, you got a Chick-fil-A in Ellicott City, don't you?
Sure. we have a Chick-fil-A in Ellicott City. But the issue is, you know, some of these things I'm hearing are the same things that were said about black people.
Mm.
Before the Civil Rights Act of 1964, they were saying that, you know, a owner has a right to serve whoever he wants to serve. But that's not true. When you serve the public, that opens up a whole avenue.
Mm.
You can't discriminate legally on the basis of discrimination.
So I think that's the big thing, John.
I'm saying, but the problem with the LGBTQ community is that they try to use a sexual orientation prohibition, you know, but the courts have been all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to become a protected class under the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
And if
they become a protective class, then these type of discriminatory bills, you know, would not, you know, would be deemed unlawful. So the whole thing is heading to the Supreme Court.
John, let me ask you though: should the government intervene in a situation
like anytime you become a restaurant or you open to the public? Then you become subject to anti-discrimination laws. The LGBT community is not currently a listed protective class, but if they can, you know, if the courts rule in their favor,
yeah,
and they become a protective class, but the boycott has been used as an effective tool by us. We use the boycott.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, so actually, I think
with the LGBTQ community advocating a boycott of Chick-fil-A, because it's an effective, it can be an effective tool if you can get a large buy-in.
There it is. Hey, John, look, I've been studying community organizing, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, people think that boycott is the only tool to use to make some type of social change, and it's not. I think in a lot of cases, boycotts are overused just because it's you know, you hit the nail right on the head. It doesn't have the effective mass to make it efficient and powerful enough. If you got 10 people boycotting Walmart, you're not doing a dent to Walmart.
No.
If you got 10 of your friends to say, look, man, don't get that chicken biscuit and those waffle fries, guess what's going to happen? They're still going to open the next day, except on Sundays.
I'm going to get up there and yell at other people real quick so I get up there.
Yeah.
But they're focusing on San Antonio.
Yeah.
That's where that bill was. If they are effective at all, they tend to be when the target is limited to a certain area,
right,
a certain business, and not nationwide.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if they can get a buy-in of a large enough group of people, which they're going to have a hard time doing in San Antonio, because I suspect most people there, you know, would have no problems with that bill that's just been signed by the governor.
Right, right. Hey, John, I got to let you go, but I appreciate
you.
Thank you. Let's go to Gene. Gene out of Pikesville. Gene, what's your take on this?
How you doing?
I'm good, Gene.
Yeah, John was close. He was pretty close, man. Does not meet the standards of the position. That's how you, in other words, if you have 50 qualified people who want to get a Chick-fil-A, right, only one person is going to get it, the arrest can be eliminated by just that one statement, does not meet the standards of the position.
Mm.
And so how do you justify that?
Yeah.
That they lack management, minimum management qualifications,
right.
et cetera.
In their denial of your application, they don't have to explicitly state why.
They do, but it's so general that you can find something that they don't have.
Gotcha.
So that's a human resource skill, and I worked in human resources for about 12 years.
Yeah.
And in employment, and then you always have more qualified people than you have. Everybody's qualified, but only one person's going to get the position. And the hard part about the job is justifying not hiring the other people.
But here's the question then. One
not giving a franchise out in this particular case.
Right.
But
right.
Well, question. Can I just say
sure,
one thing?
Sure, go ahead, Jay.
Okay. Okay, so in reference to discrimination, what is discrimination? And Brown, you know, John said the Civil Rights Act of 65, but it really was Brown versus the Board of Education when the test came as to what is discrimination, and that was de jure and de facto.
Mm.
You know, whether there's a law made to discriminate, or if there is no discrimination and no law is broken. You know, so they're the two tests. And so you can discriminate if it's I got to get them right, de facto. If it's de facto.
Right.
You know,
so you're saying Chick-fil-A has the legal standing to make that decision. I got
you. Of course, because, you know, you have to prove that, like the young lady said, that she suspects that, you know, she didn't say it, but I'm saying that she suspects it's because they're a part of the LGBT community, because in fact they are, because you could go to Facebook and find that out. That's,
right.
You know,
right.
So, you know, that's not a lie, it's the truth. But now you have to prove if they're discriminating against you because of that.
Wow, there it is. Hey, Gene, don't sound like, don't be calling up here sounding like the lawyer from Pike.
Man, I listen to Dwight Pettit. I can't even
Mr. Legal Eagle himself. I hear you. I hear you. That's the way you go. Thank you so much for checking in, Gene. Let's go to Carolyn. Carolyn, thank you so much for your patience. What's your take on this?
My take on is that they have to realize that, you know, they living in a lifestyle that they chose to live.
Uh-huh.
And every time they try, they want people to accept them. And every time when things don't go right for them, they want to oppose and knock people down. But they got to realize Chick-fil-A has a standard. They love the Lord. So they can't go up against, because they live in a lifestyle that God is not pleased with.
Well, Carolyn, I know some great God-fearing people who are gay.
They love God
with all their heart and spirit. So I don't want us to cast that, to paint that brush over them as if, you know, we all fall short of the glory and somebody came to fall.
But
my point is, there are some great God-fearing people that are gay that will give you their left arm if you need it. And then they got some folks that aren't gay that don't give a damn about you.
Let me say this. There is a supernatural, right?
Yeah.
And he did leave us his word, right?
I hear you.
Okay, he said his words were spirit, life, and power.
Right.
So we are living in the days of Solomon and Gomorrah.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
That's what we're living in. And that community, they want us to bow down to them. And before it's all over, that's what people want.
But
that's what they want.
And I want to get us into a space where we debating the validity of one's lifestyle, because I know
I'm
that
not
could,
debating.
No. I'm just saying in the context of business ownership, business support, and government and good governance. In that context,
Let me say this. God is in control.
Okay.
No matter what they do, they take it to the Supreme Court. God is in control, and Chick-fil-A has a standard. And that standard is God.
Okay.
So they can do what they want to do.
But
God is in control.
I hear you. I appreciate you, Carolyn, for checking in. Carolyn said their standard is God. I'm so tempted to make some God and chicken biscuit jokes right now. I'm really like, God, do you love those waffle fries as much as I do? Let's go back to the phone line. Cozy, what's your take?
Hey, Farazi, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, Cozy?
Oh, man, you know I got a lot to say, right?
I know, but we're going to try to get it down in like a minute and a half for you. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Oh, man, all right. All right, I'm going to try to talk really fast. I agree with Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
I really do.
All right.
I mean, you know, Chick-fil-A, like they said, they got standards. I mean, you know, if I don't like it, then I should go to McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, right? You know?
But here's the question. Here's the thing. This is not just about the fact of, okay, you don't agree with their beliefs. That's fine. That's whatever. My thing is the government's interference or the government's, saying that, look, we cannot shut down a situation because of an owner's personal political beliefs.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just because you don't like it, you want to shut the place down? No, man. I mean, no.
That's what
we're
talking about.
Right, okay, but I, you know, I'm just adding that to it also too. I'm like this. I myself just don't agree with it. I mean, I have family members and friends that are that way. I love them, but I just don't agree with what they're doing. I really don't. If you can show me, if you can point somewhere in the Quran or the Torah or the Bible where it says that that lifestyle should be respected, promoted,
you won't find it,
then brother, I'll acknowledge it.
No, but see that like again. Again, but that's fine, but that's not, that's the different, that's not the context of this conversation.
Okay.
The context is that in San Antonio, the city council is voting to ban the fast food chain from the city's airport. And
that's
the Republicans in Texas are saying that's a violation of the First Amendment.
Right, that's a violation. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I agree with them. I agree with Chick-fil-A. It is a violation, you know. I mean, they, you know.
So let me ask you this question. Let's take it out of the LGBTQ context.
Okay.
Should we ban companies based upon the beliefs of the owners?
No, that's freedom of speech. Just because a lot of owners believe something, and I don't think we should, you know, ban them or shut their business down because the owner believes that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, is that belief like really hurting and killing people? Is it, I mean, just because he believes it within himself?
Right.
You know, is he promoting it up on the walls and books and magazines and schools? Is the owner doing that? No. So, no, we can't like ban the owner or their business. No, I don't believe that at all.
I hear you. Hey, look, Cozy, I appreciate you. I got to let you go. Let me try to get Paul in from West Baltimore. Paul, I know you got something to say. What's your take on it, sir?
You know, it's very strange that you're on this topic. You know, I pastor church. I have bylaws, okay? Now, here's what my bylaws says about that. We're not going to turn anybody away because of their sexual preference. The thing is, though, I don't support same-sex marriage. So as a pastor, I will not perform that.
Right.
If you join my church, there's a piece of paper that you have to sign. You know, there's like a three-page paper that you have, bylaws that you have to read, and you have to agree to it. Now, what I did was, we had to come up with that because I know where this LGBT stuff is in it. Now, do we close down the Mars Bubba Farage because people who like to be in same-sex preference or whatever want to come to Mars? Do we turn them away?
No.
You know, I like my thing is, now I have a young lady who I grew up with who just inboxed me the other day and told me that she wanted to come to my church. I said, that's fine. She said, but I get down a certain way. And I was like, okay, well, what do you mean you get down a certain way? Well, you know, I'm a lesbian.
Okay.
And I say, well, look, there's no, you can come to my church, gay, whatever, that's fine. But be ready for the word of God because I'm going to give you the truth. You know, now I can break down scriptures. We can get to the part where, though, you know, God cannot perform sin. So we can't say that when you are in a sinful act that God has did this or God created you a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
That's biblical right there. Okay. So now outside of that, you know, I'm just trying to explain to her. I was telling her, I said, look, I will accept you the way that you are, but I'm going to give you the truth like I do anybody else, whether you commit adultery, whether you fornicate, whether you overdo drinking, is the word. You know, but I draw a line right there. I will not perform same-sex marriages. I will not do it.
I get that. And I get that, Paul. So here's the thing, though. In Chick-fil-A, in the case of Chick-fil-A, because I don't want us, because I know it's a big conversation, but in the case of Chick-fil-A, and just using this as a backdrop or as the context, should we get into a space of banning, you know, businesses, establishments, institutions because of the personal beliefs of their owners, their creators, their forefathers? Should we start getting into that space? Because I feel like if we start getting to that space, my God, we wouldn't have clothes on our back, food to eat, cars to drive. I don't know what Mr. Ford was thinking about black people.
No, I wouldn't turn a person away. Like, I'm not turning her away for what she believe in. All I'm saying is, in this particular church and in this ministry, this is what we stand for.
That's fine. You can stand for that. But in a food, but wait, hey, Paul.
Here's the thing, though.
Go ahead.
It's all written out. Once you sign it, then that's it.
That's it. But here's the thing, though, Paul. In a food service context. If in a business ownership context, where do you stand on that? That's the big question. In a food service context, in a business ownership context, in good governance context, where do you stand? Look, we got to take our next break. When we come back, Terry, Jamila, Tyrone, Jesse, and Pia, new caller, checking in. I got to hear from her. Stay riding with me. A whole lot is coming up in the second hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.